Beautiful people, Bobby the Awesome here. As many of you know, two things about me. One, I just opened a non-alcoholic bottle shop, is what they call it, but it's basically like a liquor store with no liquor. Because, as you know, the second thing about me is I would love everyone to be emotionally, physically, spiritually, and mentally healthy. This is in perfect alignment with using natural, helpful ways to take care of ourselves in all those facets. Here's one example. I drink too much cream in my coffee. Well, one of the products in the store is a moment, it's like a hot chocolate with wonderful cinnamon and nutmeg in it. And it has gotten me off of my 3 to 4 cup coffee habit by drinking this 15 calorie beverage every day instead of coffee. Whether you're looking to alternate or cut back on regular drinking of alcohol but have great flavor profiles, or want to drink something out of a sexy glass, or whether you're completely not drinking drinks that have things with antioxidants, brighten our mood, improve our digestive system, help us with brain fog. There's so many options, and they don't have to be drugs, traditional drugs. They can be just beautiful, good for us, things our bodies crave and need. So I am happy to announce that my online store, so you don't have to be here in Naugatuck, Connecticut, you can be anywhere in the country, in the US, you can shop as if you're in my store. You can customize what you want to order. You can order one of this, 10 of that, we're going to ship for free on orders over $50. There's many different alternatives in this space, and they taste so delicious. Everybody's taste is different, but there's a taste for every profile. Check out the selection. It's getting added to you every single week. Check out 321nokidding.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for checking us out. I love you, beautiful people. And now let's get started with today's show. Hello, everybody. Bobby the Awesome here. Welcome to 321 No Kidding and the Recovering Entrepreneur Show. We have Miss Jill Sawchuk with us today, and she's going to share wisdom that'll serve both of your audiences. So welcome to the shows, Jill. Good morning.
Thank you so much for having me, Bobby.
I love you have this demeanor. I'm adding letters today. That's just so chill. And I'm just like, thank you for grounding me. So why don't you get us started? Just kind of share a little bit about why you're here this morning and what it is. What do you do and why do you do it? You know, just a couple of simple questions.
Well, we met in a challenge to, I would say, kind of share or shine our greatness. And we connected, I think, because we both really want to help people heal, although maybe what we do is quite different, but find wellness. And the modality that I've been using to help people is through yoga. I found yoga in my, well, to be honest, my mom did yoga in the 70s, so I kind of grew up with it, but I got into it for myself in my early 20s, actually, maybe even just before that. And it really changed my life. So since then, I have been sharing, learning, practicing, teaching mindfulness practices.
Thank you, Jill. I have a question about yoga, but what is your definition of mindfulness?
That's a great question. I think, yeah, and I never quite know how to define what I do, because I'll say first that yoga has become such a commercial thing that that is not what I'm doing. You know, this teaching, stretching, drop in commercialized version of yoga, that is not what I'm doing. But I would say yoga and mindfulness are practices that help us to become present. So mindfulness in and of itself, I would say, is being present enough to be with what you're doing from moment to moment.
Okay, I like it. I like it. I asked that because, you know, there's so much room for interpretation, and you brought up the kind of mainstream, you know, mindfulness, meditation, all of those things, yoga. And when you first said you learned it from your mom, or that you're, you know, you had exposure, my first emotion, and this was interesting because I don't really call this out, but it was envy. It was, I wish I had exposure sooner. For so many years, I was like, woo woo. I'll never look good in yoga pants. Like, I just didn't get it. And honestly, walking into commercialized yoga, I guess any yoga, I didn't really, I can't wait to dive in more about you sharing the distinction. But one of my biggest struggles, aside from judgment, was I never liked to work out at a gym, even where there's boys, right? Like, so I had these confidence issues. I had this body stuff that not, I had all of that going. And then in yoga, you got to stretch and stand on one leg and do all these things. And it was a challenge to get in the room to even enjoy the benefits. Like, do you hear that a lot? Or do you, like, going from growing up to it to someone who never had any exposure, do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So many thoughts are going through my mind. From the first thing that came to mind was, I hear that all the time, that I wish I had found this earlier. And I often wonder, like, why don't they teach this in school? Because everybody needs it. Everybody that I meet needs yoga, and yoga meaning union of mind, body, soul. Yoga meaning a practice that helps us become more aware of ourselves. Yoga meaning finding balance and harmony from within. So there isn't anybody, and especially now on this planet, I think everybody that I meet could use yoga. And to your other point, yeah, I wish I could educate people that if you can find a yoga teacher that has integrity, you will see that what they're offering has really no requisite. You know, there's nothing you need to know before. You don't need to be flexible. You don't need to have some certain level of fitness. You don't, you know, any age, any size, any color, any creed. Yoga is definitely a universally accessible practice, and it's more simple than that commercialized version of yoga has made us feel, because literally what you're doing when you come to a yoga practice is just getting to know yourself from wherever you are. So from my perspective, I don't think it matters when you start or where you start, just that you start. And from that point, I think it's basically a process of self-discovery, and in time, the path to self-love.
So what does your version? So I know I don't know a lot about yoga in any capacity, right? Like, I've done the ones that I've done. I like when the word easy, or I don't know, there's some keywords that'll get me there. Or if I have friends that are teachers, like, almost to support them more than to support me. But so there's all kinds of stuff. My favorite part is Savasana and meditating. Those are my two favorite things. But what does yours look like different? You said yours is not like that. And also, just for clarification, is it still good that people get and do the commercialized yoga so they're getting something?
Yeah, I mean, I always refer to doing yoga that way is better than sitting on the couch eating potato chips and watching Netflix. Like, if those are your choices, go to a yoga class. But I feel a little frustrated by the watered down version of yoga, because it is such a sacred and ancient wisdom teaching. And I think when people share it in that commercialized way, they're doing a disservice to the thing that they could be offering people. And I think sometimes people are missing out on the deeper benefit. So when it's practiced in that kind of drop in quick way, keeping in mind that you can get your yoga certification from like a weekend training or a month long training, which is just insane to me. But I think people are missing out on the deeper aspects, the deeper benefits, because one of the things I think that I do differently is first form a relationship with the people that I'm working with, because I know to be true that what provides people those deeper benefits is consistent practice. So if you're dropping in on yoga once a week and for 1 month, and then you stop, and then you start, and then you stop, and then you go to a class or you go to a workshop, you are definitely going to get some benefits. You know, you might build a little bit of flexibility or strength or balance. Those physical things definitely come with any movement, right? Any physical engaging of your body. But I think the deeper benefits come when you start to touch places inside. And this takes time. This takes a feeling of safety. This takes some confidence or trust in your guide to be able to still yourself enough or quiet yourself enough, and then feel safe enough to touch those places that are more vulnerable, you know, starting to connect with your breath in an extended way will give you access to your unconscious and subconscious mind. And as you quiet your body or quiet your mind into a comfortable posture, I think the process, the really profound process that starts to happen, is you're witnessing what's going on in your body, tension or sensations. And then you're, instead of reacting, the point is to observe and witness. So you get to get really real about what's going on inside of yourself. And there's no objective other than to observe and witness and be with. And alongside breath and then movement, I think inherently we're shifting our energy patterns and allowing ourselves moments of release of these things that we shove and stuff inside. And just to answer your other question of, you know, what do I do in a yoga class, just to give people a sense, I mean, I take a very playful approach, I would say. And then on the other hand, I demand quite a seriousness. And I think the class is kind of a dance between those things. But what we're doing in that hour and a half is, through the postures, the poses, we're having an experience of the body. So just for example, if say we're just doing Tadasana, like simple standing mountain pose where your feet are side by side and your arms are stretched up to the sky, what I would be guiding people to do is experience themselves from head to toe, and just to witness and observe in themselves where they might feel rigidity, bracing, protecting, blocking, fragmentation. And I'm guiding people to experience from their hands through their arms to their shoulders to the top part of the spine, or I'm guiding people to experience themselves from the skull through the spine to the root, or I'm guiding people to feel through their body from the feet up their legs to the base of their spine. And basically, we're just spending the hour experiencing ourselves alongside breath. And I'm always encouraging people to make micro adjustments, listen to their own intuitive inner guidance for how and where and when they could micro adjust so that they can feel more whole or more flow or more ease. So I think in general, I'm holding a space for people to experience themselves and to see that they know what they need, and to remind people that our natural state is flow and wholeness and harmony, and to catch the ways that they're getting in their own way by protecting and seeing some of those tension patterns and having experience of really letting go of all that we are not.
So there's not, if I'm hearing you right, I want to make sure I'm clear on this. So it's not like you go in with an objective or a physical objective. It's really how I kind of perceive mindfulness in general, right? Like it's just being. So someone goes through and they do this, and I struggle with this. So I'm very curious because, and this is with studying like inner guidance and higher self and all the coaches and all the things. How do I know if it's true? Or like, I know enough to know that the mind has the thoughts and it gives me all this noise. Do you have any thoughts on how someone can distinguish the difference between the noise? Or is that the point of yoga to be quiet enough to hear the noise? Like, can you expand on that a little?
Yeah, for sure. I think, yeah, in the practice, we definitely have an opportunity to observe the body. So I'll say things like, you know, tap your heels. Maybe we're lying down with the feet near the buttocks, knees bent. Tap your toes, tap your heels, roll your head, move your hands open and closed. That's your body. Feel your body. And that in and of itself is a huge learning curve for people because we're not in our bodies. So just to notice, you know, even if listeners do it now or you do it now, Bobby, if you just, you know, pulse your hand open and closed or wiggle your toes, you're having an experience of your body and you can feel that, right? It's like, okay, that's my hand. That's my foot.
I just had an aha. Uh-huh. I think it's an aha. Okay. So the subconscious is the one who keeps us breathing and our heart pumping and all this stuff. So am I understanding this? Like we're tapping into our subconscious by actually telling our body to do the things that our body does?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the breath, for example, and you can try this too. If you do nothing, you're breathing. Like we have not been paying attention to our breath at all. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on. But you can do this too. Like take a breath in, hold it. And you can control your breath and then push it out. So that's conscious control of breath. But if you don't do anything, it's unconscious. And the link between the conscious and the unconscious mind very much has to do with breath. So let me kind of take you through the progression of back to, yeah, how you know what's thinking or what's feeling or what's intuition or what's tapping into higher self, the body. So, you know, I think we start with really kind of recognizing, okay, that's body, right? When we start to feel it. And as we become a little bit more comfortable in our bodies, which I would say is the first thing is just to land in the body, then I might also refer to, and then you'll notice your thinking. Like, for example, if we're doing some kind of forward fold, it's the most common thing where people start to stretch to their toes, right? Reach to their toes. And I'll say, your mind, just notice your ambition is you already know because you're such a smarty pants and we have such a developed human brain, you already know what we're doing and your brain is saying, reach for your toes. And we'll all recognize that, like nobody gets to escape that because as soon as we position ourselves for the forward fold, we think, oh, I better reach my toes and you'll start to observe that striving. And then I just call it out. Just notice that's your brain. That's your brain thinking. It knows what it wants to do. Just stop yourself. Resist the urge to reach for your toes and just sit there for a moment. Or if we're doing standing forward, we'll just stand here for a moment. Feel your body. Notice your breath. Start to take a little bit of an inclination to where you think you're going and then stop yourself and start to feel again. Start to listen to your breath. Start to feel around your spine, which also is, you know, this very powerful and important vital area of us where basically all energy is flowing, right? This nervous system. Then we could talk about energy centers, but even just if we think of it like our communication system from brain to the fingers and the toes. And as we start to observe body, and then there's the brain going, reach, reach, strive, go for it, do better, you know, all the things the brain says. And if we are guided by, I think, somebody with experience or compassion, we get to notice, okay, well, there's those things going on. There's the body, there's the mind. And then we start to tap into this other thing that's observing all of that. It's like, oh, okay, there's breath, it's coming, it's going. And we're offered this opportunity, I think, to be quiet enough, slow down enough, where we start to see, okay, then there's this higher center, whatever you want to call it, spirit, higher self, soul, inner voice, inner guide, connection to the infinite, whatever you want to call it, that can observe mind and can observe body and can observe breath. And that's where I think we start to get in touch with that thing that you're asking. It's like, okay, that's the part of me that knows, that can kind of penetrate past what thinking is, penetrate through the body and touch that place that just knows, that's, you know, that was with us when we were children, that will be with us when we're on our deathbed, this piece or place inside of us that, yeah, is beyond mind and body.
What value does that give someone?
Well, I think they're all important, you know, so it's not that this higher center or self or soul or spirit is trumps everything. And once you're in touch with that, you can forget about mind body. But I think if we can observe this in ourselves, that there are all these different aspects, mind, body, and soul. And often they're not in alignment. We're thinking one thing, physically we're doing another, and then our soul is craving something else. And I think that's where friction or dis-ease comes from. And that's the basis of yoga, is that we're allowing consciously for these three aspects of ourselves to come together and work together. And I found it really interesting, Alok, who's guiding our challenge where we met, and one of his sharing said his top clients not only align their thoughts or writing or words, but their actions. And I think it's really similar, because this is what we want. This is where our power is, I think, when all of us come together and focus on some aligned vision or moment. And I think the dis-ease or disharmony is felt when we're thinking one thing, like, I suck, I can't do this. And our soul is like, yes, you can, you have a purpose. And our body's like, what you need is water. But instead we reach for a Coca-Cola. So, you know, we create dis-ease or friction or conflict when we're not living in alignment. So to your question, what's the benefit? I think when you live in alignment, you feel great.
Okay. I'm down with feeling great.
Yeah. In mind, body, and soul, you have energy. You're free of dis-ease, you know, both physically and mentally and at a kind of spirit soul level.
Do you get feedback that's like, all right, so I'll use Vishen again. And I was doing his phase six meditation last year sometime. And one of the aspects of it is compassion. And I wasn't even consistent, you know, like where it was every day, because it didn't work in the tanning booth sometimes, but that's besides the point. So all of a sudden, a whirlwind of stuff happens at work. And the only way to survive was grace and compassion. Like, but I didn't even know that that's where that came from. I just this week believe it came from there. When I reflected, I was like, I did these meditations. I did them sporadically, but I worked on them, you know, like then all of a sudden I have this aha and clarity about compassion at work and like this whole new framework. And when you're describing showing up regularly, putting in the time and the work, the benefits sound like they would show up. It's you'd almost have to find your way back to the alignment to notice the benefits based on the results. Did I say that in a way that made sense?
Yeah, say it again.
So the success is actually being in alignment with your mind, body, and soul. And the fact that you can recognize that you had success is your success almost.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and I, when you were talking about meditations or, because well, one, I think it's wonderful that we're living in a world where we have access to all these mindfulness teachings or practices. And yet, on the other hand, I feel called to share or flag. I mean, I love Vishen. I think what he's doing is great. And it's no criticism on whatever he might offer. I don't know what kind of meditations he teaches, but I have run into, again, a little bit like this pumping out yoga teachers or meditation teachers in a matter of a weekend or a month, where I hope people also don't get lost in believing or thinking that it's also a matter of like envisioning blue light or, just commit to saying these positive affirmations. Or I think one thing that I'm so committed to is also helping us to see that there's no quick and easy magic pill to liberation, and that part of the process or part of the path is actually being with like the gunk and the like not the blue light, but like the black soot and goo and like ick and pain in our systems, because it's very easy to override on the surface level of the mind negativity. But deep in our body, deep in our system, maybe even, intergenerationally, we have pain patterns that I think, unless we are guided to be with, sit with, experience both, both the good sensations, but the bad sensations or the pleasant sensations and the unpleasant sensations, and recognize that we inside, we do have these fragmented experiences. I think that's a really important piece of the path to touch those things. And I don't know if I want to say embrace, but acknowledge and be with them. Because I think if we bypass that, if we're just like, I feel wonderful. And just put our hands in chin mudra and pray and wish and envision, harmony. It's a nice idea, but from my experience over 20 years of practice, is that the work has a lot of nitty gritty to it. It's not when I sit and I have a daily practice. When I sit, even after 20 years, a lot of the time what I'm experiencing in my meditation is a bunch of mental monkey mind rat race, regret about what I did yesterday, thinking about what I need to do later today. And that's the reality. I mean, I could super hyperimpose like, you are brilliant, you are brilliant, you are brilliant, and just repeat some, affirmation that I want to believe. But the reality is when I sit with myself, I have self-doubt, self-criticism, regret, fear. And I think that that's what we want to get in touch with, the reality of what goes on inside of us. And then to recognize that, again, those are thoughts, that's thinking, that's the brain. And then to allow that, because I think that's our human, that is being human, this duality, light, dark, pain, pleasure, that's never going to go away as long as we're human. So to not pretend like, oh, I'm all love and light. I'm not all love and light in my human brain, but to see that there's a place that I can touch inside of myself that exists, even though I have all that duality, all that noise going on in my brain, like you called it, there is a place that I can get really familiar with, really close with, that isn't tainted by all of that noise.
If you're saying that we're supposed to pay attention to the ick and the yuck and the soot, well, then you're taking away our excuse to be drinkers and gamblers and on our phones and overeating. What do you mean we got to look at our stuff? You're going to take away all our addiction? Come on now.
Well, this is the profound thing. You know, I mean, I think this is why when I found out your specialty, your passion was addiction, I was like, yeah, baby, let's talk. Because I mean, before I found yoga, I was a party animal. And I think we fall into these addictions because they help us to escape some uncomfortable negative experience, whether we experience it as a negative emotion or just a negative feeling in our body. And then we find something to cling on to, like drinking or smoking or gambling or work or sex or, yeah, technology, you name it. And then we don't feel that pain anymore, that uncomfortability. And when I found yoga and meditation, I realized that it's possible to be with and experience that uncomfortable emotion or that uncomfortable thought or that painful feeling and not grab for something, and then it changes. And I think, I mean, when we did a podcast where I interviewed on you on my show and we touched on this, I think this is the crux of the beauty of what I have to offer, or it's not mine. I mean, these teachings that go back thousands of years, but once we realize that we can experience what we're feeling without reaction, we begin to see that those feelings are fleeting. They last like 180 seconds or something like that, a biochemical reaction. And then the next one happens, and then the next one happens. And we're like a continuum of these biochemical reactions. But what we're doing is that when that biochemical reaction fires that makes us feel uncomfortable, we think it's going to last forever and it's going to kill us. And then we reach for something in a reaction. But if we can learn to observe and witness what's going on in the body, we see like, oh, it's passing, it's impermanent. And if you don't reach for your crutch in that first, you know, minute or two or three, what you get to witness, which is so powerful, is like, oh, I don't feel that anymore. And you haven't done anything to get rid of it. It is just the natural experience of being a human, is that it's always changing. You don't have to change it. It's always changing. And then you start to free yourself of those things that you need to grab for. All you need to do is feel your body for 1 or 2 or 3 minutes. Once you get practice of being in your body and you get practice of observing your breath, it gets quite easy to go, oh, something uncomfortable is happening. Hold on, let me observe that. And then 2 or 3 minutes later, you're free of it, instead of being caught in that cycle of addiction, which was what really, you know, it changed my life. And that's why I became super passionate about it, because yeah, I no longer wanted to party.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I have a friend that is a yoga instructor, and not just like one weekend. She invests a lot of time and energy into it. But I had moved away and came back, and we weren't as close before I left. And then I come back and somebody's like, oh yeah, she went through this like change with yoga and whatever. And she had like lost the weight that she was carrying around that she didn't, you know, it wasn't serving her, and it dissipated. She was sober, and it wasn't like intentional things per se, but the transit, like witnessing that transformation, like the before and the after. And then, you know, now she's just a crazy beautiful soul, runs around and just wants, you know, good for everybody. But I just met you, so I can't I haven't seen, you know, like all of your journey and everything, but I love that you went through one and have that experience. So, Jill, I know we're getting close on time, but I want to know, how can people find you? Like, can they work with you remotely if they were interested? Like, what does all that look like?
Yes, for sure. I do have an enormous library or resources online. And if there was any silver lining of COVID, it was that most of us who were doing this kind of work out in the world had to bring it online. So I have all kinds of courses, from 10-day self-care challenges, if it's something you just want to dip your toes in, low commitment, to 30-day challenge to develop your own like yoga practice from home, to private coaching. And I also run an online membership where people, which I love, have access to daily classes, because I think that is the key, is that commitment. If you have a lot of self-discipline, I think you can do it on your own. But I've met maybe like two or three or five people maximum in my life who have the commitment or discipline to do it on their own. So if you want to get in touch with me, I have my web page is probably the easiest way to contact me, which is www.yogajill with one L. yogajill.com, for joy in living. And you can also, on my website, you will be able to download a free wellness checklist. So if you're just looking for simple things to start doing, which Bobby, if you're interested, has a free link to a Shavasana, a guided relaxation, and lots of other just simple tips. But you can also find me on Facebook and Instagram, Jill Sawchuk, and I'm sure you'll link in the text description those.
Of course. Well, I'm glad I asked you that, because I didn't know about all the courses and resources. I haven't dug deep, but it sounds like you're meeting everybody where they're at, and that's amazing. So thank you for all the work that you're doing, and thanks for having two conversations with me in such a short period of time.
It's totally my pleasure. I think you're doing such good work too. I think we are at a point in our evolutionary path where we are teetering on really understanding who we are and reaching our full potential. And I think people facing their addictions and people finding things like mindfulness practices is all just a really important piece of where we're heading.
Thank you again, Jill.
Thanks so much for having me, Bobby.
Hi again, beautiful people. Still me. One other thing I wanted to let you know is I screwed up. And I had moved in the background different podcast providers. And in the process, I lost all my ratings, all my reviews, all my stars and all those things. So I am building from the ground up. So if you found that you enjoyed the show, and you want to help support me in a free way that takes about 30 seconds, I would love it if you give me a follow, a rating, a review. Be honest, because I want to make this the best experience for you. But if you can help me in that way, I would greatly appreciate it. Thanks again, beautiful people. Love ya.